Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 6 in St. Louis. Here's Stokely and Zach.
A former all-pro NFL player provide a simple explanation why CU legend Eric Bieniemy can't get a head coaching job. Oh boy. This is like one of those like stories that pops up every few weeks. It's like I just didn't see this one coming.
No, you didn't. And when it comes to EB, it's kind of like everybody knows that there's a checkered past there, and there's a lot of people around here locally that are familiar with it, certainly if you've been around here for a long time. But nationally, it's definitely a huge question mark that a candidate who's been interviewed, what's he been interviewed for, like 15 openings
at
this point?
He has literally been interviewed by half of the league.
Right, and we know that a part of it, I mean, let's not mince words and sugarcoat the truth here. We know a part of it is because of the Rooney Rule, where you have to interview minority candidates, right? But at the same time, you're talking about the offensive coordinator of one of the most dynamic offenses in league history. Even though we know Andy Reid is the true architect of it, this is a guy who's been in Patrick Mahomes' ear for the last, ever since he's come into the league. And so when I look at it, and you look at the rate in which assistants on successful teams get chances to be head coaches, like Nathaniel Hackett has gotten his chance to be the head coach here, it is definitely a head scratcher if you're not familiar with some of his checkered past, Zach.
That was well said. I think that for a lot of folks who just haven't like taken the dive into what that past is, it's kind of in their blind spot. They're right. Like, well, why the heck can't this guy get a job? LeSean McCoy thinks he knows why Eric Bieniemy can't get a job. Okay.
Shady?
Former dude, when that dude was at the peak of his powers, he was freak. One of the best I've ever seen.
He was a freak.
Like, he was a jitterbug.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be holding the ball out like a loaf of bread and just, like, dancing. He was really special in the peak of his powers. I want to say he's the Eagles' all-time leading rusher, but he's also, like, Bills' top three as well.
Oh, he had a heck of a career. Is he the all-time leading rusher? Let me see.
I think he might be. No, we'll get it here in a second. But we have this.
Yes, he is.
He is, right?
6,792 is his all-time total.
Okay.
And then, and you think about it, you're like, well, shouldn't that be Brian Westbrook, right? I mean, when you think about all-time Philly running backs, who else can you think of? Westbrook and Shady McCoy. Like maybe Deuce Staley? That's the only other one I could name.
Blast from the past. He's not. I think he's top three with Buffalo. He's not. That's Thurman Thomas, OJ, Fred Jackson. Division three, Fred Jackson.
Mm.
This is LeSean McCoy on a podcast, and literally like the last 2 minutes of the podcast, his name came up, and LeSean McCoy, former All Pro running back, said this.
Me and Aquarian, we had a difference about different things, right? And I'm gonna say this: it's the reason why every year they keep hyping him up to get a coaching job, a head coach or office coordinator job from somewhere else, and he don't get one because.
He's talking about Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, and the players.
You're bringing this up now. We got a minute.
Truth. Listen, because some players, right, he talks to them a certain way, and some players would take it. I wouldn't take it. Like, whoa. And some question I would ask, everybody's accountable.
Yeah.
That's why it's not because he's a black coach. That's not the reason. The reason that because he, I won't get into that, but I'll say this.
You can't say there's a reason.
We got 1 minute. But it's the reason why that every year they hype him up to get a job, and then when the time comes, nobody hires him because they know what type of coach he really is.
So you're saying Eric Bieniemy was why you stopped playing in Kansas City?
Yeah, come on, man. Players, they know what it was.
Okay, now at the end when he said that's why I stopped playing in Kansas City, the reason you stopped playing in Kansas City, there's just no more tread left on the tire.
None at all.
And that's me who loved that guy.
Right.
He's done.
Right.
And that's okay. It happens to everyone.
Yeah.
But him saying he's
Not a great guy. Talks to this guy that way, and we'll talk to these guys, and people just have to take it, and I wouldn't take it, and like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've known about Eric Bieniemy. Like, and I think Shady, you know, said it very well there. You know, there's the third, which is his checkered past, which obviously is, you know, is its own animal in and of itself. But you're talking about the way that he deals with people and his interpersonal relationships. Eric Bieniemy is an abrasive individual.
No question. Yeah. No question.
And he gets under the skin
And here's like the coded language for that. Like, yeah. Yeah. He runs hot.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I mean, does he have to be like physically restrained from a player like running hot? Like, no. How does that work?
No.
Like,
he, you know, he yells at you into performing better. Right. And I feel like he's more of an old school guy, right? When we're talking about football, how it used to be, I feel like you're talking about coaches like Eric Bieniemy. And now look at the juxtaposition when you're talking about a guy who is very abrasive, getting in fights on the sideline publicly. Go look it up. Adrian Peterson, Travis Kelce.
Yep.
There are many examples of guys who just have had enough of being treated the way that he can treat people. And so when I look at it, you know, you're talking about the modern athlete. The modern athlete doesn't respond well to that all of the time. You know, I think that before, coaching was more of a look, get with the program or get left. Now it's not that way at all. Now it's really you have to work in unison with your players rather than just being their coach. And so while I look at, you know, his comments, and certainly I would imagine that he's a little bit jaded by the fact, it sounds like he still hasn't quite gotten over the fact that
right.
He didn't have anything left
right.
To contribute. But
and by the way, Andy Reid came out in the last 24 hours sort of in defense of, because they're practicing too and they're doing media availability. And he said that, look, you know, LeSean, he's like, I love LeSean, but he was at the end, and that was hard to accept. And so he kind of came out in defense of EB, which isn't surprising.
No, it's not surprising. And Andy Reid's been carrying water for him for a really long time. And so when I look at, you know, that situation, I know for a fact that that Andy Reid is going to defend him till the very end. But we've also heard, Zach, that maybe it might be the end of the road for EB and KC.
So that's a real conversation as well. We thank our listeners in Inglewood for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. I said that to Stoke not long ago. Like, sometimes things just run their course. And when you've been there for years and there has been those tensions and, you know, some of that history, and you're up for so many jobs and you keep returning back to Kansas City, it would not shock me at all. And there's no way of finding this out. But if Andy Reid did a double shot of truth serum, mm-hmm. It was like, would you just rather like just reset that position and have EB get one of these jobs? Or even if he didn't get one of those jobs, still reset it? I think that he would probably say yes.
Yeah, and I think he'd probably also say, were you hoping that he would have gotten one of these jobs so that it would have looked good for you
right.
and you could have moved
right.
on from this situation? Right. I think he would have said yes as well.
Yeah, he's got that history, man. There's just real history to point to as well, as in addition to what LeSean McCoy said. I mean, there's... You know, there's a bar fight, you know, you're getting arrested. If it was just that, you know, you could sort of, hey, you know, sometimes stuff like that, you know, happens. But there's also, you know, he like shoved a firefighter and, you know, grabbed a female parking attendant by the neck. And there's a DUI charge. And then there's other stuff like, you know, CU football recruiting back in the early 2000s. That was just a lot of stuff. So, And considering all that, if no one wants to make him the face of a $1 billion organization, I
get it.
I get it.
Right. And I hate to say it, right? And I absolutely hate to say it, but he's got a pretty good gig right now. And if that does come to an end in KC, I have no doubt that he'll find another position. Whether or not it's going to be head coach, I think at this point that ship has sailed for him. You can't have this many interviews and not have gotten that job.
With the emphasis on... You know,
hiring minority candidates.
Yes.
And so for me, I look at it and I say, look, it's an unfortunate situation for him that's how it's played out. But also, you make the bed you lie in. And you've got to be mindful. Being a coach in any professional sport, there's a lot of politics that are involved with it. Who you know, who you have good relationships with.
Of course.
That's why you see a guy like Justin Outen tag along with Nathaniel Hackett here to Denver, right? It's all about those interpersonal relationships. And I think when you look at that, Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid have found a synergy. And I think you could make the argument that this is maybe one of the most important seasons in either of their careers, considering the fact that now they've got to redesign that offense without Weapon X. It's a big year for the Chiefs to move on and prove that that offense was not really dominated by Tyreek Hill. Can they, I mean, look at the guys they replaced. Sky Moore, rookie. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, right? I mean, he was hurt a ton with Rodgers, never was really a big game player. There's a lot of proving grounds in KC this year.
Yeah, got to reinvent themselves. We'll see what it looks like. Hopefully it looks terrible.
Yeah,
from a Broncos perspective, no doubt. All right, we do have a new name and a new face in the Broncos ownership picture, and we'll put the microscope over him coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 6 in St. Louis. Here's Stokely and Zach.
We have a new player in the Broncos ownership.
By the way,
the hell is this?
You know what it is. This is a scene where you rip your shirt off and you've got jeans on the beach playing beach volleyball. That's right, folks. I saw Top Gun Maverick last night.
Oh, my gosh. How was that?
You know, for me, I'm just like a giant fan. Everybody knows that at this point. But when you're anticipating something for so long, it's hard for it to meet your expectations. And I mentioned to my friend last night who I went to see the movie with, I said to him, I said, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone tell me these things about a movie. Like, I had another buddy of mine who's one of the most apathetic people I've ever met, doesn't get excited about anything, say to me before I went to the movie, that was the one time in my life I wish I didn't go alone to the movie theater. And I was like, huh, for him to say that. And then I've heard, you know, just everybody who knows me knows I'm a giant fan. And so for this to meet my expectations, to hit every note. It hit every note. I walked out of that theater with a giant smile on my face, being like, wow, I can't believe he actually pulled that off. So I'm not going to say anything more because I know there's so many people going to see it, and I would never, ever spoil it, because if somebody spoiled it for me, you'd see my face in a mugshot. So I have to tell you, go enjoy yourself. Go take, you know, take the wife, take the face. It's a fantastic movie. To meet my expectations, you had to clear the bar, and it was already as high as possible. So it was fantastic. And I cannot believe what you told me earlier about your relationship with Top Gun. I can't believe it.
I feel comfortable saying I've kind of seen it because it's on TV so much, and I've seen, I think, every part of it, but I've never actually sat down and watched it start to finish.
Aren't you an American? Aren't you red-blooded American? Like, what's wrong with you?
You know what? I'll actually take that L because it's such, a cult classic, pop culture. I mean, it's just a megastar, actor, and I know its place in history, so I'm willing to, accept that, yeah, that's Stokely never seeing Jurassic Park. I mean, it's just...
That one I can understand a little bit more.
it's in my blind spot. I got to take care of it at some point. All right, we have a new player in the Broncos ownership picture. Meet Matt Ishbia.
What the heck's this guy's problem, Zach? Matt, another Matt with one T, rolling into town. Like, I mean, this town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Listen to you.
I might be the one that gets shown the door here. This guy's got a couple of dollars.
So one of the signature parts of this guy's pass is he was, a walk-on for Tom Izzo's national championship team in 1999-2000 at Michigan State. All right. He has built his mortgage business into just a monster. I mean, a monster. It was already, I think, established by his father. He just took it to an absolute other level. All right. It's he and his brother, Justin. But it'll be Matt who's the primary on this. If this were to come to fruition, Matt Ishbia would be the primary owner. He is now bidding to buy the Denver Broncos. This was Mike Kliss who had the story. It's Matt Ishbia and his brother Justin are part of a group that have put together a strong enough financial proposal to catch the attention of those running the Broncos sale. The Ishbia brothers recently visited with the Broncos. So this is not like a flyer. This is now, he's one of the parties that is meeting with the Broncos Trust. Okay. A call for a second round of bidding could be within the next 2 weeks, okay? That is being reported by Mike Kliss as well. He says, quote, don't count out the Ishbia brothers. While Nine News has profiled the Walton and Harris groups,
little has been mentioned about the Ishbias. While there are other investors in the Ishbia group, a source says Matt would be the controlling owner who would put up the 30% minimum requirement of the purchase price if the Ishbia's bid were to be successful. Okay?
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm just laughing because I made a comment the other day on Twitter that this guy, Matt, another Matt with one T, is coming in here looking to buy the Broncos. And United Wholesale Mortgage liked my tweet. So, like, 95% sure that Matt saw the tweet. I didn't realize that was him.
So
that's funny.
Okay, so United Wholesale Mortgage liked that tweet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that is the name. That's the company here that the Ishbias run. I mentioned he spent 4 years on the Michigan State Spartans basketball team. After he graduated, he spent a year sitting on the bench with Coach Izzo, 2002-2003. After that point, he joined his father's United Wholesale Mortgage Company. He started at the bottom. Matt worked his way up until the point where he's the president and CEO of the company that has been the country's number one wholesale mortgage lender for 7 years in a row.
Wow.
Okay. According to Yahoo Finance, now this is kind of where it gets a little tricky here. According to Yahoo Finance, Matt Ishbia's net worth is about $11 billion. That is a huge number.
Much more successful Matt.
That is a much more successful Matt, and that is a much more successful anyone. If he were the owner of the Broncos, I believe he would be like among the top five richest owners. I believe Jerry Jones is worth about $8 billion. Matt Ishbia, according to Yahoo Finance, worth about $11 billion. But Bloomberg has his value listed at half of that. That's a huge difference when it comes to this conversation, because Bloomberg is saying that if he's listed at, say, $6 billion, not that he can't buy the Broncos, but the Broncos are reportedly going to fetch about $5 billion or $4 billion or whatever it's going
to
be.
Right. And now if there's a second round of bids, guess what that does to the price?
It ain't lowering it.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Right. So the trickiness for me with this one comes on, like, what are you actually worth? If you're 11, that's a big swing. If you're worth what Yahoo Finance says you're worth, you're going to be one of the richest owners in the league. If you're worth what Bloomberg lists, well, the team's value could be 90% of what you're actually worth. So I don't know to make heads and tails of this thing, but it's definitely deserves to get mentioned as, like, this guy is officially a part of it. He has met with the Broncos. It's real.
It is real. And what's interesting about it is there's a very good group of candidates here. You know, we kind of parse and we're talking about these different billionaires and how they got involved, you know, with interest in buying the Broncos. And I think we're pretty fortunate because I'm not sure they can go all that wrong. There's a pretty good group. You know, the Byron Allen group is one where you just have to question if the resources are there to get this thing across the finish line. I still have a giant question mark on that one.
How can
they
not?
Yeah, so, and you look at Walton, yeah, I get that his son is going to be running the day-to-day, but Walton's still 77, you know, that's a giant commitment at that point in your life, and maybe you're setting, you know, your family up for, you know, generations, but at the same time, still something to take into consideration. So I actually like this. I like the fact that it seems like, you know, we're talking about a former athlete here. He walked on, but we're a former athlete here.
Oh, and by the way, like, and just, I think everyone knows this, but if you're a walk-on, there is no you're a preferred walk-on.
Oh, yeah.
You are a stud.
At Michigan State?
You have to be a high school stud. You're probably like one of the best players your high school has ever produced. Matt Ishbia in high school, 27 points a game.
That's what I was going to say. If you're a walk-on, you could probably start at just about any D2 school in the country.
Sure.
And so when I look at this, I like the fact that he's got the athletics background. I like that a lot. And, you know, when you talk about the differences in numbers, obviously, definitely odd. But at the same time, they do reference, Cliss did reference that he's together with his brother, Justin, and a group of people. So maybe that other number is a collective number, or it's the value of United Wholesale Mortgage or whatever it is. You know, I have no idea. Again, these are not circles that I'm swimming in very often or ever. And so when I look at this, I do like this candidate, maybe more so than some of the others, because I think when you're talking about a love for sports, having that athletics background, I think, is cool in your billionaire.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep our eye on this story. It ain't going away until it does. So that's probably not going to be for a few months. Second round of bidding expected in the next 2 weeks. We will have our fingers on the pulse of that story. Okay. ESPN ranked every Major League Baseball team in one specific category, and I swear to God, the Rockies came in at number one. Hang tight.
What?
Hang tight. I'll tell you what this list
number
is.
Number one. Rockies.
Coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 6 in St. Louis. Here's Stokely and Zach.
ESPN ranked every Major League Baseball team in one specific category. And I swear to God, the Rockies came in at number one.
What? Number one?
Yes. Yes.
Number one.
All right.
I'm fascinated because, I'm trying to rack my brain to think of what you could be talking about, possibly as far as number one goes, as far as, as it pertains to the Rockies. And outside of losing or game day experience or fan hatred of...
Well, hold on. Yeah. What you just said right there? If I didn't know what I was about to talk about, because obviously I know what I'm about to talk about.
Right.
But if you said to me 7 o'clock this morning, hey, ESPN came out with a list and the Rockies were number one on it, the thing that I would probably go to and the only thing that I would go to is like game day experience. You use the exact verbiage, like rooftop bar, sunsetting over the largest mountain range in North America. You know, the Rockies vibe, game day vibe is very lax compared to being in the Bronx or in Boston or whatever.
That's the best outdoor sports bar in Colorado. You didn't know that?
It's a pretty sweet time.
Yeah.
It is. So I could say maybe it's that. That's not what it is, though.
It's not incompetence. Number one in incompetence, that's not it either?
No, ESPN didn't rank incompetence this morning.
Okay.
What they did rank is the new Nike unveiled City Connect uniforms.
No way.
Created a ton of discussion online. I mean, this morning.
I saw this thing.
Was
they have
all
it
over
number
Twitter.
One? Get out of town.
I kid you not. So, if you have not seen the new Rockies City Connect uniforms, it's at the top of my Twitter timeline. You don't even have to be on Twitter to you could just type in Byesline Twitter. You can follow me at BYESLINE at Byesline. You are the real Matt Smith, I believe.
Matt with one T, by the way.
Matt with one T. So, these uniforms, guys, they were put together in, I'll say, like a thoughtful manner. They're trying to incorporate stuff from your state into the uniform.
If you're curious what these uniforms look like and you're driving in your car, just look at the person driving in front of you.
So I'm going to get to that here. The design inspiration, the new Colorado Rockies City Connect uniform pays homage to the mountains that give the team its name, right across the upper chest of the jersey, which is green. Mostly green, is the mountain range, all right, with a predominantly green look reflecting the state's signature pine trees. It features several flourishes, such as a new circle logo on the hat in red for soil and gold for sunshine, along with the state's CO abbreviation. The logo and number font also pays tribute to, as Matt mentioned, the state's distinctive license plate. ESPN said the verdict on the uniforms, quote, the Rockies have unveiled a design that is distinctive from the rest of their existing uniform set without feeling completely out of left field. The Rockies paid an exceptional amount of attention to detail, creating a look that feels both fresh and classic. They went up to the mountains, it looked like, to do a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
It's Connor Joe, it's Kyle Freeland, it's Herman Marquez, it's Ryan McMahon.
You know, there's a $170 million man missing from this picture, actually. It's very fascinating.
So I had a follower on Twitter, Jake, say, where is Chris Bryant? Because typically in a photo shoot like this, you're rolling out like your core.
Right.
So,
or your stars.
Or your star. Why Chris Bryant isn't there?
He's laying down. Laying down. Golden boy, get some rest.
Okay. So we have mostly green uniforms, Mountains on the front, license plate, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciate the Rockies for doing this, because if CU ever had a baseball team, you just got to change these colors to black and gold, and it would be perfect, because they've got the Flatirons already. That mountain range, that's not even visible from Denver, right? Like, that's the bolt, that's the Flatirons. And so I don't know. I think, first of all, it's a cool jersey, right? You know, for a AAA team. I think the hat is actually pretty cool if you were to wear it on its own, because you would have no idea if you saw somebody wearing this hat, it was a Rockies hat. So you might get away with the embarrassment of wearing a Rockies hat, right? Because there's no actual Rocky logo on the front. It's just CO.
I wear my Rockies hat and with I'm not pride. Embarrassed about it. but these uniforms were met largely with negative energy, I think, because the team is just not very good. And I think that it's like, it's... You know, you can make
green pants is never a great look, Zach.
So here's where I come down on these jerseys. And again, if you haven't seen them, you can find them on ESPN.com. Just click MLB. They count them down. Rockies number one. Outside of the green pants, which I'm not in love with, I really like the jersey. No, I really like the hat. I think they did a splendid job with it. If we're not talking about like on base percentage or a bullpen or your star player like getting hurt in bed.
Right. If you're not talking about the baseball part of playing baseball.
If just the uniforms.
Look good, feel good, play.
Am I crazy? I think they look kind of cool.
They are. But to call them number one, I would never call them number one. There are some here, in my opinion, in their own division, are better and far more deserving of being number one. And that's the Giants. The Giants uniforms that have that gradient look with the G on the breast there, I think that is an amazing jersey. I think the Boston ones are cool, although would I rank them highly? No. The other one I like a lot is the Nationals that have the... What is it? It's not the orchid. What's the specific flower that they've got? Cherry blossom. On the Nationals have this whole cherry blossom theme that's really cool. But would I call them number one? No. Not even close.
I'm a big fan. I'll probably pick up a hat. I put it out there to Twitter. So tell me what you think. This is a funny tweet from Clem from Barstool Sports. He said, I need to know if the mountains turn blue when it's cold outside before I give my official rating, which would be a clear 10 if the mountains did indeed turn blue. Most people did not like...
Mountains turn blue when they're winning?
Yeah. Most people did not like the license plate incorporation.
Yeah, it's just... I mean, when have the Rockies ever been forest green? Like, when has that ever been a part of their color scheme or anything? That's the one thing I don't like about some of these City Connect jerseys.
They literally have a forest in their field. Kinda.
Yeah, but on there, I'm talking about team branding. It's all the purple people eater. It's purple, black, and white.
But
those are Rockies colors.
But this is the point of these. You can step outside of it.
I guess. To me, I'd rather... But again, you look at the Giants uniform. That stays within their color scheme, but is really cool. Really cool. And so for me, the one that's really lame is the Houston Astros that has Space City on it. Have you seen those?
No, it says
Space City on the front of Houston Astros jersey.
Should have just been a garbage can. someone said on Twitter, Small Baller said, first thought was the Momfords had sold the team to the company that owns E-470 Toll Road.
Sold the Rockies to CDOT? Right?
You have, you know, a lot of people just did not. Our own Richie Carney said, yes, because everyone looks at a Colorado license plate and thinks to themselves, I would wear the hell out of that.
Yeah.
Mostly negative response. I like it. You guys can check it out and decide for yourself. They just rolled them out today. Mixed reaction.
I think it would be cool for a new team, a different team. I don't understand the forest green inclusion. Just me.
Are you doing the pregame show tonight?
Yeah. So DMAC, because of the location of the stations, DMAC is headed out at 5. He'll be here 2 to 5 with Tyler, and then I'll take over 5 to 6.
It's Mission 16W pregame show. All right. Are you going to be with Mike?
With Tyler.
Tyler. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Looking forward to that. Game 6 is right around the corner, guys. In just about 4 hours from now, the puck is going to drop in the most important game in Colorado sports in recent memory. And we'll give our predictions, and Matt has a prop for us to play tonight. We'll take a dive into all that coming up next.
It's Mission 16W. Bring the cup home to Denver. Getting you set for tonight's Game 6 in St. Louis. Here's Stokely and Zach.
All the small things.
The
shink. Care. Truth.
Dude, now Tyler mentioned this, and I didn't mention it yesterday because it was just, I didn't.
There was so much going on.
Yeah. Didn't quite connect it. But as it goes, as the story goes that this song gets played either after a win or when the game is in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they played it after McKinnon's hat trick goal with 2 minutes left.
And when we're talking about in hand, we're talking about multiple goal lead in the third period.
Right. Yeah, that's what in hand means. Not by one.
Not by one goal lead. In a back and forth game with 46 left to play or whatever it was at that point. They hadn't played it all series at home during the actual game, so I knew that there was a little bit of kind of maybe an early trigger there. And you know what's funny is Tyler, like for the last 2 weeks, I brought it up with him that, you know, I love the fact that this has become the Sweet Caroline of the Avs, but Tyler kept saying, well, don't you think it's going to be a jinx? I'm like, what are you talking about, jinx? He's like, well, they're going to play it one time and it's going to backfire. And he's been saying this like the last 2 weeks. I was like, no, it's not. Like, what? They only play it when they've got a giant lead in the third period or, you know, multiple goal lead in the third period with, like, less than 10 minutes left or after the game. There's no way you jinx a team like that. But they broke tradition. They broke tradition.
They did. And I don't feel good about that.
Me neither. Not at all. When I heard it played, I was like, oh, man, this game is not done yet. When I heard them start playing it, everybody was going nuts, and I was just watching the ice and going, oh, man, was Tyler right? Was Tyler right? Was Tyler right? Because they hadn't stopped St. Louis all period.
Crazy. God, that freaking album, Enema of the State.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome album.
So good.
So good. And so the most good. Recognizable album cover of all time.
With the nurse with the red glove.
Of course.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you can picture it in your head right now. I love that album.
All right. I love it. I love it. Okay.
Yeah.
Game six tonight.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
What's the vibe? Yesterday, you were admittedly freaking out. It's Matt Smith filling for Brandon Stokely.
So freaking out, because I was a 10 out of 10, to me, I'm not freaking out. 10 out of 10 is like, hey, I'm super concerned here. Am I freaking out? No, I'm not freaking out. And people are like, well, you're 10 out of 10. How are you? I'm never going to freak out. Like, this team has choked so many times in the last few years that my freak out level is gone. Like, I nothing that they will do will make me go, will make me just implode, right? But will I be overcome with another wave of disappointment and frustration? And, you know, there's this line in The Office where Michael Scott says, no question about it, I'm ready to get hurt again. And then he asks everybody in the office for phone number, you know, women's phone numbers. That's how I feel with the Avs every year. No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again. That's where I feel like I'm at right now.
Some people are at their breaking point.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that they were out there, but they are.
Yeah.
And
I'm there.
What D-Max said yesterday, he's like, you know, people are checking out on the Avs. I'm like, but is anyone actually doing that? You have a 3-2 series lead. Sure enough, text line. I'm done with this Avalanche team. You know, what wake me up, blah, 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 blah.
This is what I'm saying. Like, this is the feeling that I had when I came in here. When I came in here yesterday, Mike Evans was like, Matt, you look hungover. I was like, Mike, I feel hungover. Like, I didn't go to the game or anything. I was like, I legitimately feel emotionally hungover. Like, the fact that they couldn't pull that off when it was the golden opportunity to do so was so disappointing and so overwhelmingly frustrating. Compounded over the last few years, that's why I think it was to another level. So, yes, my concern level is high. I am not freaking out, but I am also cognizant that when you do not capitalize in the playoffs, it very, very often comes back to bite you. So, my antennas are up today.
We were talking about this with me, Stoke, and Dante. We'll bet a no-run first inning.
Sure.
And when you're supposed to...
By the way, the only time you guys have hit, I was here in the building.
So. There you go.
Yeah.
When something happens, when you're like, oh, that should have been an out, it will cost you. Like, typically, these things, the way that the sports fall, it will cost you when you don't capitalize on those opportunities. And you're right. You called it a golden opportunity. It's exactly what it was. It was an epic collapse. If you don't think it was an epic collapse, you're just not being honest with yourself. Okay? It was an epic collapse.
Epic.
The biggest question is, can this team flush it and leave it where it stays in Denver as they head to St. Louis tonight?
Is that what they need to do? I'm curious to know. Do you feel like this is a flush it game? You just move on. Or is this a, you embrace that, you embrace your frustration and you embrace that anger and let that push you? Just curious.
However you slice it, I'm sure each guy is going to be a little bit different.
Sure.
I'll say it like this. For me as a fan, I want to channel it.
Right.
I'd like to channel it. It was brutal.
It was brutal.
Accept it. It was a bad night. And it could be historically bad, depending how this ages here over the next 72 hours. If the Avs, for whatever reason, if they lose three straight games to the St. Louis Blues, and one of them you had a three-goal lead at home in a closeout game, Stokely's right on this. He said it yesterday. You can add up the frustrations for the previous 3 years and how it's fell. Game seven and a turnover against Dallas, and that's right. how it ends. Or, you know, up 2-0, and then you're up 2-0 in game three, and you're like, this would dwarf all of that because of that same context leading you to this point.
No doubt.
And doing it all over again in such a massive way.
No doubt. I had a friend yesterday say to me, if they don't get out of this round, you might as well move the team back to Quebec because I'm not going to care moving forward, which I honestly understand how people are there. And there's some people in the text line, like, they're fine. You guys are just being alarmist. This is legitimately how part of the fan base feels, that if they cannot eclipse this point with the best team in hockey right now, they're done. Like how many people want to open themselves up to heartbreak like this year after year after year with this, with these kind of expectations?
Well, but, and here's the shame of it. Like, I think they're going to figure this out in the next two games. Okay. But if they don't, the waiting period, once again, to get back to where it matters again, you will have a lot of fans just sort of click the switch off, because the next start wouldn't be at the start of next season. It's this time next year. We already waited a full year to get back to this point after the loss to Vegas
right.
a year ago.
Right.
So, okay. Before we get to our predictions,
sure.
You have a prop. I asked you last night. You texted me, say, do you need anything? I said, I don't need much, but I want you to come up with your favorite prop because I know you do real research. You play these throughout the year.
Yeah.
And I love, there's no such thing as a lock in, in like a professional gambler, it's about 56% of the time.
Sure.
So there's no such thing as a lock, but I do love logic and reasoning behind some of these plays and some of these props. So what do you got for us?
So tonight, as far as the...
Make it a lock. I'm going all in. It better be a lock.
I'll give you my lock later on our Mission 16W pregame when I take over for D-Bag. But no, here's my prop tonight. What I like, and it's a bummer because you don't want to have to bet on St. Louis, but when you're looking at the Avs numbers in this series, they're just juiced because they're the favorites. You're seeing a ton of people playing the Avs, shots on goal, goalie saves. Kemper's over under tonight, goalie saves.
Should I guess? Hold on. Let me guess. Yeah, yeah. God, so I'm not used to looking at these. I'll say it's 27.5.
Random number from you.
30.
Literally right in between.
Wow.
We're at 28.5.
Okay, right, that's a W right. for us.
Yeah, I feel like that was success.
That's pretty what good. I'm saying. Right.
Now, Price is right. You win, though.
That's what I'm saying. So tonight, I'm looking at Robert Thomas, St. Louis second-line center, had two goals in Game 5. And this is a guy who was outstanding in the first round, needs to get going. Just two shots on goal from your second line center. It's at minus 125, risk 125 to win 100. If you're looking at value plays on the board, that's the one I think they need more from him and that second line if they want to compete. And I think St. Louis is going to be keyed up tonight. I think especially early, they're going to try and really stay on Darcy and try and throw pucks on the net and be active themselves. So I'm looking at Robert Thomas over 1.5 shots on goal.
I love the reasoning behind it. And by the way, with Kemper, the way that he has allowed these rebounds to just not be corralled. Just getting the shot on goal.
Right.
There's value in that, where typically, obviously, you're looking for one of those high danger, you know, quality shots. Just getting it on Kemper.
That's not really the Blues style of play. You know, they throughout the season, they don't get a lot of shots on goal. They try to get quality shots, but maybe that's what they should be doing, considering all the rebounds they have been getting.
It's an opportunistic offense, right? It's a very efficient offense while not being a high-volume offense. And so when I look at it, you look at where they've had success sustaining possession in their own offensive zone. And when you look at Colorado's weakness, there's no bigger glaring weakness right now than who they have between the pipes. So if you're St. Louis, you got to think to yourselves, look, we're feeling great. The crowd's going to be behind us from puck drop, right? They're going to be juiced in that building. So if you want to get out to a really good start in this game, it's sustained pressure early, because you got to figure, and it's the biggest question I have, can the Avs get up for game 6? Having to get on that plane, guys, like, you walk on that plane and you're just looking around and you're thinking, I got to go back to Missouri now. Like, we dropped the ball.
KKFN, KKFN, HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Take it. Take it.
No, I saw you focusing on it. Take it. As you literally said, drop the ball, I jumped in there. You couldn't make that
take
up.
Take it. Take it.
Hey, I want to finish something
that's
we started.
One for your weekend, Zach.
Hey, I want to finish something really in the next minute that you and I started earlier in the show. We said the five guys that need to step up the most tonight. Yeah. I had unconventionally putting Bednar in there because the leadership has to be on point as you try to recollect yourself after a devastating collapse in game 5. 4, I had Cale Makar for the reasons we outlined. You can hit it up on the podcast if you want to listen back, followed by Mikko Rantanen. And my final two, Matt, one is Nathan MacKinnon. You say, you know, what the heck is why did Nathan MacKinnon step up? He just had 3 goals. Dude, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You have got to run it back. That version of yourself, that was the first time we saw it in this series.
Right.
You need to go do it again, followed by number one for me, Darcy Kuemper. Dude, this team can play well, and if Darcy Kuemper has another freak out, you could still lose. And that's kind of what I saw. Those were soft goals that just were not finding their way into the back of the net throughout the season, outside of just a jot or tittle here and there. Mm. He has got to be better.
Just a tittle.
I'm sorry, what?
Just a little tittle.
A jot or tittle. You guys can...
Tittle?
Tittle. A jot or a tittle. Very small thing. Okay. Outside of very small windows, Kuemper hadn't looked that bad this season.
Right.
It came at the worst possible time. It cannot happen again. So he's number one on my list here.
Yeah, I had Val Nichushkin, who had been very, very good for the Avalanche of the first series. He had a goal in game 1, but in game 5, he's a -3. They need him to be better. That game really changed on the play that he lost his stick. St. Louis scores the first one to make it 3-1. Then I had Kadri. After that giant performance in St. Louis, he is also a -3 in that game 5. So he needed to bounce back. Mikko, look, you're the highest paid player on the team, leading goal scorer this year. It's time to show up. My other two, Andrei Burakovsky, the only one with that Stanley Cup title to his name. If he's back in the lineup tonight, you need leadership from a guy like that. I've got him 2A, 2B with Landeskog, and then number one is also Kuemper. Because I've got Landeskog in there because, look, you need your captain to be your captain. This is when you need to galvanize the group and stay tighter than ever before. And Kemper's number one, because if the Avs don't get better goaltending, they've gotten the depth scoring, they've gotten production from their superstars. Have they gotten the goaltending necessary to win a cup? I'm not sure yet.
Hey, I wasn't in here. I'm sure you guys did it. But what were your official predictions?
So we didn't do it.
We didn't
until
do it.
Right
oh, you
now.
Didn't do it.
Oh,
all right.
No, we didn't
so,
do it.
So let's. We asked D-Mac a little bit earlier in the show. I'm sure he'll repurpose that prediction a little bit later. I have this a very, very close hockey game that comes down to the third period. I think the Avs close them out tonight. 4-3 in an absolute nail biter. Matt, what do you got?
I'm tempted to hold on to it until a little bit later, but...
That's fine.
Wait,
that's
no, fine. It's not fine. No. Okay. He's on air right now. Okay. What are you talking about?
Well, I'll be back later for the pregame show, so I was tempted to hold up, but I'll give it to you. I've got St. Louis getting out to a good start tonight. I've got St. Louis taking game 6, 4-3.
Boo this man.
I hope I'm
Everybody
wrong.
Everybody in your car, roll down your window and boo this man.
I hope I am wrong.
Wow. Well, with that, Tyler, D-Mac, live from St. Louis, courtesy of our friends at Superbook.
Yes.
Here we go, boys.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.